Alrighty then, there you go with the theme song. Way too long, I know, because I'm behind. Hello there, I'm Rick Moore, along with Bill Newell, Tim Kearns, Bill Proposky, and a cast of thousands. This is North Shore Sports Night on this beautiful, beautiful Monday night. Let's say hi to Tim Kearns. Coach, how are you?
Good evening, Rick.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Not quite sure. It's not coming in loud and booming as it used. Well, anyway, Tim, I guess we have a lot on tap tonight. Let me tell you about our guests, first of all. We've lined up Brian LaFada, who is the Gloucester Athletic Director.
I know him.
You know Brian, former baseball coach, director of athletics. We also have Jim Pugh lined up. We'll be talking with Coach Pugh. We have Ryan Nolan, who is the by the way, Hamilton Wenham football coach. Ryan Nolan's the Danvers football coach, and we're going to be talking with him as well. And then we'll be checking in with Andy St. Pierre, who's the athletic director at Danvers High School, along with Gary Larrabee, who is golf historian and sports writer. And I guess a glimmer of hope today, Coach, with coming out of the office of Governor Baker?
Well, there has been a downtick and the number of cases and people being put into the hospital. But we still have to practice caution because the state still has a large number of new cases every day and the numbers of people are still dying. So everybody has to, take the good news with a grain of salt and with a measure of caution.
Well, I'm taking any good news I can get, and I'm looking at it as a very positive development in that there are signs pointing in the right direction. And the other thing is I'll be able to get a haircut next week.
Yeah, well, it's good to have a hairstylist in the family. So
I don't a hairstylist in my family. Who's that?
I have a hairstylist in the family.
Oh, you do? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, that helps most definitely. Oh, Lordy. And on the sports scene, Coach, I know I've been so desperate for sports, Tim. I watched NASCAR yesterday.
Yeah, you probably were dying for any kind of sports action, obviously.
Well, I tell you, I did. So I was able to do that. We're going to talk with, we've been featuring here on North Shore Sports Night, we've been featuring the class of 2020, and I want to really thank the athletic directors in the high schools in the area who have set this up for us. We've had these Zoom meetings with the captains, for the most part, of spring sports who have been sort of gypped out of their senior season, not sort of, but they've been, they've lost their senior season, not able to participate. And Tim, to a man and to a woman, these kids are incredible. And the thing that stands out in the interviews from all these different high schools that we've done, and you know this, is the fact that, number one, they are people of integrity, they are intelligent, and they are unselfish, and they're optimistic. And it's just been a thing of something to behold.
Yeah, it really is. It's amazing the level of maturity that they have exhibited and the degree of understanding and the ability to express their thoughts when a lot of adults around them haven't been able to do quite the same thing in light of the situation that we found ourselves in.
Yeah, and I think you hit on it, maturity. But to me, it's the maturity and the unselfishness is just incredible. And, the other thing, Tim, I asked these kids to do a brag moment. You have these brag sheets that you send off when you're trying to get into college. They're loosely called brag sheets, and you're supposed to tell a little bit about yourself and your achievements. And, same thing. These kids are captains. They're outstanding athletes. They go to the nationals. They're champions. And they always talk about other teammates. And to me, that just messes with my head. It's awesome.
Yeah, well, these kids especially, they understand that while their own athletic talents have enabled them to achieve certain heights, as a participant in a team sport, it's the others around you that support your efforts, that enable you to either to stand out or your team to stand out. And so they realize that you know, it is a team effort, and it's not only their efforts, but the teammates, the efforts of all their teammates involved.
Nice, it's been fantastic. All right, we'll take a break, come back with the first guest tonight, and that will be the athletic director at Gloucester High School, Brian Lafata, who was the baseball coach up until he got the athletic director's job. So we'll take a break and come right back. It's Tim, it's me, it's Bill, and we will be back. So please do stay with us on North Shore Sports Night.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com.
All right, we are back now with the Director of Athletics at Gloucester High School, Brian Lafata. And Coach, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well, guys. Thank you very much. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing okay. Currents, are you there?
I'm here.
And Tim's still there. Brian, you know, since last we talked, the first interview, the first Zoom interview that I did with the class of 2020 was with you. And, you know, Maddie set a standard that these other captains have lived up to around the North Shore, both in the Cape Ann League and the Northeastern Conference. But the common thread among the directors of athletics, Brian, has been their emotion in dealing with these kids and talking with them. And I know that you have been very much working hard at getting the kids the recognition that they deserve. And maybe you could reflect a little bit on how things have gone since last we talked.
Obviously it's still a tough situation for the seniors. I get to interact with some of them once in a while. For them at this point, a lot of them are looking to the future now, and they're keeping that positive outlook. They've got school winding down in the next, I think, 7 to 10 days for the seniors of their online virtual learning. Obviously, things are up in the air with some of their graduations or any other ceremonies, but they are staying positive. Thankfully, the weather is getting a little bit nicer out now, so they can get outside safely and make things a little bit easier. But, I mean, they've been great through all of this. I can't even imagine myself if I was 17, 18, 19 years old my senior year, not being able to play baseball, which was my sport. And these kids have handled it with class. And it's been good, even working with some of the underclassmen. I've been interacting with them a lot, trying to keep them upbeat and keeping them, obviously, ready for the next upcoming season.
Tim?
Brian, have you heard anything with regards to the fall?
Not a lot. We we did receive a basic email today from the MIAA. They are putting a task force together. Another committee that they will have with, I'm sure, will be a variety of whether athletic directors, principals, maybe superintendents, to start planning for the fall. I believe they plan on putting this task force together by the end of this month, and then meet virtually throughout the summer to discuss the plans for the fall and even the full 2020-21 season. Fall sports are the first one coming up, but you're dealing with winter sports, you're dealing with potentially spring sports next year. You never know where this will go.
Coach, you know, a big change obviously coming up, and I think Nick Kukul wrote about it, is the change in the conference with Masconomet coming in. And what's the deal with that? Is everything still up in the air due to the fact that we don't know what's going to happen in the fall?
As far as conference alignment, we are set in stone with what we're doing. We are, by adding Masco, they were a great addition because it does even out the conference, puts us at an even number of 12 teams. So you can put 6 in the north, 6 in the south for the majority of sports. And Masco obviously comes in as a very decent-sized school, very strong athletic and academic school. And so they seem to fit in the north, where Gloucester, our enrollment numbers are just down a little bit right now. So where we line up with some of the schools in the south, we thought it was a good fit for us as a, an overall program to go to the other NECA Ds and principals felt the same. So it's better for the conference, it's better for our school to be able to do that for the majority of the sports. So that is set in place, that will start up this fall with all the fall sports of us being on the
Coach, get into politics. I don't want to get into union discussions or anything. Coaching staff, how is that work between spring sports closed down and you know as well as I do, fall shows, September comes pretty fast.
Yeah, I mean, that's coming quick. Our coaches in the spring have been tremendous. Obviously, at the beginning of this whole shutdown, they stayed in contact with their players because there was the chance that we still might have had a season. We've had some of them, we conduct online virtual conditioning workouts, completely voluntary that the kids can come try out any sport. I've got three or four different coaches hopping on and leading that. So they're doing a great job with that. The spring coaches, we're trying to do, we haven't come to a conclusion yet on what's going to happen with them when you start talking about the unions and political stuff. But as far as their pay, I have put a recommendation in to give them a percentage, but those are decisions to be made by people higher than me. So hopefully they will get something, because coaching isn't just obviously starting March 16th on that first day of spring and ends then. It's a year-round commitment, and these coaches are all be committed. So they're doing a great job, and I'm actually, this week I'll be meeting with all my fall coaches virtually. It's amazing how much Zoom meetings and Google Hangouts and these things have become such a large part of everyone's day or life now. I'll be meeting with all my fall coaches later this week, because we want to start looking towards what we would typically do is an interest meeting after school for the different coaches, just to bring kids in to see who's interested in playing, see what our numbers look like. So I'm going to be promoting for them to try and do interest meetings virtually to start getting some of the incoming eighth graders plus the returning athletes to sign on and get an idea of what's going on for the fall, start looking towards registration for that, and go from there.
Did you get a chance to close out winter sports in terms of banquets and awards and things like that?
The majority of teams did. We do, it is individual by the different programs, kind of the boosters head up for each individual sport, their own banquets that they hold at different venues throughout town typically. A handful of them did get their banquets in. There were a handful, I know, I think our track team, our wrestling team, unfortunately, were unable, and our hockey team unable to conduct their season end banquet. So, I know that's on their radar of when things do come back to somewhat normal or some sort of way that they can do something to wrap up that season. I know in my office I've got a handful of varsity letters and pins and certificates and stuff that we still want to get to the student athletes, as they've earned them, and those are memories that the students and the parents will cherish for a long time.
Absolutely. Tim, any final questions for Brian?
Brian, you obviously don't have access to the school, right?
Well, thankfully, I do a tiny bit. It's kind of exciting. If there's one positive that comes out of this entire thing right now, is we are redoing our field house this summer. It was a slated project to redo the track, the basketball court, and the bleachers. And due to the fact now that there's no school, they have been able to start working earlier. So I am able to go in. We have a work crew in there right now demoing all the bleachers. They'll be ripping up the floors in the coming weeks. So I go in, especially just to kind of do kind of a photographic every day, take a picture and kind of memories and show people the progress as the project will go. So I do get in there a little bit, but when you go in there, it's social distance. You've got your mask on, you've got gloves on, everything, the whole nine yards when I go in there.
Hey, Brian, remind people of all the great work you're doing with saluting the class of 2020 athletes, because it's out there. I've seen some of the posts you put together and they're tremendous. How can we look at those?
You can go on any of our social media. We do have, for GHS Athletics, we've got a Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I set up all three when I first started, just knowing that it might hit more families. This may be some of the older generation that might do Facebook, or the parents, while the kids love Instagram. And then Twitter's obviously great to be able to contact even more the media, guys like you and everyone else out in the media, so they can see what's going on. So we've been doing that on all three platforms for the past 2.5-3 weeks. I've been doing two senior spring athletes a day. I was very lucky. I have a parent that takes lots of photographs, great action shots. So I've been able to make small little collages for the athletes. And like I said, give them their recognition. They're not getting a senior night. They're not getting to end their season. They're not getting any of the media hype or publicity of being in a regular season. So at least I could do this, and it gets out to several thousand people that way. And you can see the people in the community really liking it, like I said, on Facebook, especially for the parents and some of their relatives. And on Instagram, all the students are all over that. So it's been going pretty well. We have a couple more days left of it, and then I'm going to try and find a few more things, especially to even honor some of the seniors that might not have been spring sport athletes, but something like that.
Fantastic. Congratulations on that, Brian. It's awesome. Hey, is there any way that the kids can blow those up and make posters for themselves and frame them in their rooms?
I have had a few parents ask, because they are a slide. I can easily email the slide right to the parents.
Awesome.
So I've done that so far, so they're more than welcome. Like I said, I've been very lucky this year, and I got to start working on it for next year, that I had a parent that would go to so many different sporting events to be able to get action shots of a lot of these student athletes.
Those are tremendous. Coach, thank you so much for talking with us tonight. Stay safe, and we'll check in with you very soon.
Great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks,
appreciate
Brian.
It.
Take care.
All right, take care.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
You too, bud.
All right. Sorry about that. All right. I lost Tim. I don't know how to do this thing. I'll get Tim right back. Let's see if this works. All right. Coach, you there? Coach, you there? Nope. All right. I'll figure it out. I'll get it back in a second here. Next up, we'll be talking with Ryan Nolan. He's a Danvers High School football coach, and he wants to talk about the seniors as well. We haven't chatted with Ryan in quite a while. Looking forward to that. So please stay with us. You're listening to MSO News Sports, and this is North Shore Sports Night on this Monday evening.
MSO News Sports is a unique multimedia website providing exclusive news and sports content for the North Shore. Our goal is to keep you connected to your local neighbors throughout Essex County and beyond. We feature the best of the North Shore, and we couldn't provide this service without the powerful support of our local sponsors, like Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury, the Bradford Tavern in Rowley. Just like us, they care about the North Shore. Check out all of our podcasts and share our website with your friends. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. Again, we are your connection to the best of the North Shore. msonewsports.com.
All right, we are back now, and it's my great pleasure to bring back the Danvers High School football coach, Ryan Nolan. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
I'm all right.
Doing well.
Yeah. And,
as long as Rick doesn't cut me off, Coach, I'm doing real good.
I know. I don't know what I'm doing. Oh,
it's
man.
It's a different time, you know. It's different, and there's some good and bad to go along with it. But, you know, it is what it is, and, you know, just getting through it.
Well, Coach, tell me a little bit about, your feelings. You've had three, four great seasons at Danvers High School. You've developed a tremendous rapport with your kids. You've elevated the program. It's always been great, and you've made it. You've continued that and even elevated it. But more importantly, the kids have they've demonstrated a certain pride in Danvers that the town has taken a hold of, and, of course, you as well. But the seniors... You know, you have ways of sending off seniors. You have ways of congratulating them when the season breaks up and so on. But a lot of your kids go on and play spring sports. So what's all this mean to you in terms of, being a football coach?
Well, I think, it starts off from a place that we encourage our kids, like not just Danvers football, but Danvers athletics in general, play as many sports as possible. So, the kids that we have in football, they play, winter sports and spring sports. And, I know as a three-sport athlete and how important baseball was to me growing up, that it'd be heartbreaking to lose a season. But, I really feel for the kids. It's a loss, but it's something they'll be able to get over. And I hope they've. A lot of the kids we had in football had real full experience athletically at Danvers High School, and unfortunately, 1/12 of it they weren't able to compete in the senior season of in the spring. But I hope that the experience helped shape them, and they walk away from it being better people from it.
Brian, and where do you teach? Is it Somerville?
I'm actually at Northeastern Metro Tech in Wakefield, the vocational school.
Oh, okay, okay. So what's it like as a teacher there? I mean, everybody's going through this, and I assume that you probably still have to work online as well?
Yeah, we give an online assignment, and one of the big things we're trying to do, especially I do phys ed, is kind of balance giving advice on what they can do, considering the circumstances that changed so much early on with being out and being active. And we kind of moved on to a little bit more of the wellness component and social, emotionally, and all the different things, being able to handle the change in, you know, everyday life that the kids are going through. And we have a real diverse school community, so we're trying to really, really understand that. A lot of the kids from, we have kids from North Reading to Chelsea, so we're trying to support them to make sure that, like, you know, they can get out there, be active, have things to do, but also, you know, emotional wellness and things like that. You know, being able to balance those things out when people are kind of trapped at home and, you know, urban to suburban, you know, a lot changes.
Well, Tim, as a history teacher and a coach, you can identify with what Ryan's talking about, because it's not just being out there on the field or between the lines. It's also so much more. And I imagine the stress on a lot of kids and a lot of their families is huge right now. And some of the parents are probably out of work, and it's just bad.
I mean, from what I've heard, like, you know, I know a lot of the Davis families very well, and they seem to be doing all right, and it's not without a speed bump here or there. But to really have an idea of what some of the families go through, some of these Chelsea Revere families that, you know, are dealing with so much, and, you know, your heart goes out to them. It's tough to be a 14, 15-year-old kid when everything, your daily, you know, schedule and being able to, like, feel comfort and like, you know, knowing what to expect from a day, and all that changes, you know, instantaneously. Yeah. So, you know, the Davis kids, for the most part, you know, I think they're in a pretty good situation. I just hope a lot of other people understand it's not as easy as other people out there that, you know, really battling, going through some tough times.
Tim?
Yeah. You know, especially, Coach, the like you mentioned, the mental strain, the economic impact that it has had on especially for families in Revere and Chelsea in particular, that just magnifies the stress that these families are under.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what? There's a lot of great families there, too, and there's a lot of people that care so much about their kids. And, you know, there's a certain amount of, you know, I mean, we talk about it in football and everything else. It's about being resilient and bouncing back and taking the best out of a situation. And I think that's, you know, in a situation like this, I think playing a sport like football or, you know, something like that where things aren't always easy, you grow somewhat through that, and you're able to, you know, deal with the adverse times a little bit better and keep a more positive outlook.
Coach, I got to ask you one final question. Does being a football coach help you teach? Or does teaching help you be a football coach?
Oh, I think it just goes absolutely hand in hand. And I think the other thing, too, is times have changed, too. I mean, you used to walk out on the field, I remember, as a kid, and you did whatever the coach said, no matter what. And now it's important to, you know, explain to them why you're doing it, how you're going to do it, why it's important, and how it can make them better. So I think if you're a good teacher, that's going to help you be a better coach. If you're a good coach, that's going to help you be a better teacher. And if you just try to work on both of those together, you're going to...
You and your family be safe. I can't wait to see you again in September.
I can't wait to get out there. And thank you very much for the call. It's great talking to you guys. And be safe.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah.
Take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That is Ryan Nolan, who is the Danvers High School football coach. Tim, you still there? Let me try it again. Tim, you still there?
Yes.
Oh, I did it. I did it. Okay. I think I did it. Okay. All right, we're going to take a break. I want to remind you, we got Gary Larrabee coming up, I think. Sports historian, golf writer. We'll also be checking in with Jim Pugh, who is a Hamilton Wenham football coach, Andy St. Pierre, the director of athletics at Danvers High School, and Bill Newell will be talking with Sean Lawler, familiar name on sports here on the North Shore. He hopes to be playing this summer with the North Shore Navigators as an outfielder. So that's all upcoming here on North Shore Sports Night. Thank you for being with us. We'll be right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and patio doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
That went through extra holes?
Hold on, boys. Okay, Gary Larrabee is with us, sports historian, golf writer. And Gary, I didn't get to talk to you last week, and I know that you talked with Bill and extensively about the courses reopening, and so it's going to be good to be back out there, I suppose.
No question, and we're getting every day full. We're getting a little bit closer to normalcy, I think we could say, and in fact, the weather has been so great. We've been in one of the most fantastic Mays we've ever had, and it's been great for golf, and hopefully we'll continue in this very positive direction. As Tim and I were just speaking a minute ago, Rick, we were talking about another sign of getting back to some form of golf normalcy. There was a terrific match on TV yesterday from Seminole down there in Juneau Beach, Florida, with Ricky Fowler and Matt Wolf taking on Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy in a 18-hole skins match, which raised, I believe, over $1 million, Tim.
Yes.
To fight the coronavirus. So it was a great day for golf and a great day to help people who are in need. And we got to see some terrific golf. They were a little bit rusty, but they were carrying their own bags. They were playing in shorts, no gallery, no caddies. One official, and it was just great to see.
You know, it shows you how people can get. I saw online today, there was an article criticizing the fact that they played in shorts. Golf was not meant to be played in shorts. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. You know, all the things we're going through, and this person has to play in shorts. Oh, my word. Awful.
Very, very short-minded people, and nothing to do with the day. And nope. Another great match, another great four-ball match, or I should say a foursome match coming up. Correct me if I'm wrong, Tim. I think it's this coming weekend.
This weekend, yeah.
Right, we're involving Peyton Manning and someone named Tiger Woods taking on Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson. Should be a lot of fun to watch that. I think that's on. That should be exciting too.
Yeah, I think that's going to draw even better than this past weekend's foursome, just because of the celebrity names that are involved and their past competitions with each other on the football field. Now going to translate. See how it translates to the golf course.
Should be great, and there's also already been a few laughs. You know, the four of them had a little virtual interview session last week with Mr. Johnson from TNT. I believe it's TNT or TBS who's televising it, and that event will also raise a ton of dough, I believe, for to fight this pandemic. And it's just another sign that we're slowly, ever slowly, getting back into golf, because there was a negative aspect to that whole concept today when the USGA finalized their 2020 and championship schedule, and they eliminated four other tournaments, and they confirmed they're going to still have the the U.S. Amateur, the U.S. Open. I'm trying to think of the other two tournaments, but well, the Women's Open, of course, will be played at Champions down in Houston in December. The U.S. Open will be at Wingfoot, September 17th to 20th. The and of course, so it's a different type of year for the USGA, but they decide to cut their tournament schedule down from 13 or 14 national championships to 4, and hopefully we'll still get the rest of the tournament that is supposed to be scheduled that have not been canceled on the New England PGA and Mass Golf schedule underway. And the first event, guys, will be July 13th through 17th when they'll try to play the Mass Amateur down at beautiful Catansett, down in Marion. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. It's still 2 months away, but we hope everything goes well, and they're going to be opening up Massachusetts slower, if you watched Governor Baker today. And hopefully it's all part of getting golf back on a normal routine.
Yeah, you know, the crazy part is, Gary, while the numbers are going down, the numbers are still high within the state, and, you know, people are lambasting the governor for not doing more faster. But he's erring on the side of caution, which is what he should do, you know, and a lot of people don't seem to understand this across the board, not just golfers. And everybody just has to be aware that they're going to have to be, you know, social distancing restrictions on every kind of activity for the, you know, foreseeable future, and be willing to go along with that. Otherwise, you're going to create situations where it's all going to get shut down again, you know, for a longer time.
Well, thankfully, no negative reports from the golfing world that I have come across of any significance, particularly not here in Massachusetts, since they opened up Massachusetts to golf a week ago Thursday. I've seen no major reports of problems in other parts of the country yet. So those are all positive signs, I hope.
Yeah, that's... That is something good. I was going up Route 1 yesterday. I think I was going by Old Newbury, and I took a look onto the course, and I saw a guy in a cart, and I realized he had a flag, so it was the ranger. And he was talking to four guys that were playing together, and they were all rather close. So I'm sure he had a word of wisdom for them.
Probably in the fact that you know, there's no real policing out there, except you have to police yourselves, like golfers have always been asked to do because of the rules. And but you're right, the golf courses are back in business, and I saw lots of people. I was going down Route 1 yesterday afternoon, too, Tim. Sorry we didn't collide and bump into each other. But,
I'm glad you didn't collide.
But, I mean, New Meadow and Topsfield was going very busy, and, of course, Old Newbury was relatively busy. We drove by, and it's just all getting back into a very slow groove. But most important, guys, like I repeat, no negative issues yet, and we'll hopefully it'll continue in the same direction. Well, hopefully, with the PGA Tour getting back and up and into action, I think it's the second full week in June at down in Fort Worth, Texas.
All right, what can we look for this weekend in the Salem News from the golf column? What do you got cooking?
We're gonna look back, Tom.
That's okay.
Tim and Rick.
Fred.
We're going to look back 40 years. We're going to look back 40 years on the founding of the Boston 5 Classic, which had a fantastic 11-year run at Ferncroft Country Club, the biggest events we'd ever had in golf on the North Shore at that time, when the LPGA Tour came to Ferncroft for 11 straight years, 1980 to 1990, which is a great, great experience. I can't believe it's been that many years, Tim.
Yeah, you know, I have to mention, Gary, you talk great tournaments. I watched, was it yesterday? Or the day before, the greatest game ever played, the story about Francis Ouimet.
It was on TV in recent days. Yes, I watched it one night.
I caught the last half. And that, what an amazing, amazing story.
And one last thing, Rick, thank you for your patience with us. Thursday night at 7 o'clock, the Ouimet Fund will be conducting a virtual annual dinner, if you will, fundraising. There's no people there, of course, but they'll be interviewing Tom Kite, who's this year's major recipient of distinguished service to golf, and that'll be on the WeMet.org website starting at 7 o'clock on Thursday night.
Tremendous.
Well, did I set that up for you, Gary?
Thank you very much.
Teed it right up. Hey, Gary, it's great talking with you. I like the optimism in your voice, and stay healthy. We'll talk again next week. Oh, wait a minute. Next Monday's Memorial Day, so we'll probably take that one off. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
See you in 2 weeks.
All right. Thanks, Gary.
All right, Gary. Take care, buddy.
Take care. All right. That's Gary Larrabee, who is a sports historian and golf writer. Try that again. Did I lose you, Tim? No. Tim? Oh, my goodness gracious. I lost him again. What the bozo. All right. We'll come back and try it again here in a minute. But first, we're going to turn it over to Bill Newell. You're listening to Sports on North Shore Sports Night here. Local sports, that is.
Sean Lawler, returning to the North Shore Navigators this summer, is now coming. I'm going to start that over, Sean. I'm horrible at this. Okay. Here we go. Okay. You don't get a second take, though. No, but you do. If there's anything ever you need to edit it out, don't worry about it. I can take care of it for you. But I don't think that'll happen. Okay, here we go. Sean Lawler from the North Shore Navigators is joining us, and from sunny Florida. It's sunny Florida, right? Right now, Sean?
Yeah, it's sunny. Probably get some rain here or there today. Probably that's how it is.
Well. Sean, you were with the team last year, league MVP in the Futures League back this year, but that wasn't originally the plan, and I know you were late add-on here to the Navigator roster for this year, but I guess it all goes back to what didn't happen this spring, and that was the completion of the college baseball season for you at Flagler. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we're about 20 games into our season, and I remember it like clear as day. I was sitting on my couch and I was watching an NBA game, and all of a sudden I hear the news about Rudy Gobert getting the coronavirus, and that's just when everything, all especially in sports, started. And the next day, we had a road trip. We were going up to Georgia to play a team in our conference, and then we just kept hearing news about a whole bunch of universities and schools canceling their seasons. And then we got to North Georgia, and then we heard the next day that our season got canceled. And so that was probably the worst part about that was it was a 10-hour drive. So you had to drive 10 hours up to North Georgia and 10 hours back for basically nothing, and then realizing your season's done. And then that was all tragic and stuff because I wanted to complete my last year of flight. I've been there for 4 years, and I just wanted to finish it. But obviously, that at least I got the opportunity to know that I got an extra year left. And so Flagler doesn't have a graduate program. And so Derek January was a great guy. He helped me out a lot. He contacted me and said, hey, I saw you're looking to transfer. I can help you out. And he helped me out a lot. He got me in contact with Maine, the coaching staff there at Maine. I love them. I love Coach Durbo and all the rest of the guys. And so I committed there, and that's where I'll be heading this fall for my last year as a grad transfer.
So what are your what was your major at Flagler, and then what's your grad program? What will that be in?
My major at Flagler was marketing with a minor in business. So I'll be going to Maine for MBA. That's what I'm gonna be looking for, an MBA at Maine.
Nice. Okay. And as far as you know, they're gonna start school up there in the fall in Maine?
As far as I know, yeah. I mean, hopefully people can get this settled soon. I mean, in Maine, I heard, like, the virus itself isn't that bad there. I mean, hopefully I want to go there, and I want to get the experience, full experience up there through the whole school year. And then, obviously, when it comes to next spring, I want to get that opportunity to play Division I baseball is what I've always dreamed of doing.
So you're down in Florida, down in Boca, and that's where you went to high school, and that's where your family lives now?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was born and raised here in Boca Raton. I went to Boca Raton Community High School.
Gotcha. All right. So maybe just a note or two, Sean, about last year's season. Were the league MVP, where you had – I got a couple of notes here on you. 66 hits, 26 extra base hits, and an average, .351 batting average. So you had a very good year in the Futures League.
Yeah, I mean, I was having high hopes because the North Shore really, like, was paying attention to me a lot. Like, whatever team, that's one thing with Maine, too. Like,
the team that I realized who wants me the most, like, I'm going to go play for them. Like, North Shore contacted me early last year and said, hey, we want you to come. Like, if you want me to come play, I'll come play for you because you guys want me. And when I got there, I mean, when Coach Odie was there, Mike Oldenwater, he's one of the best coaches I've ever had in my career. He knows the game in and out. He's a great coach. And it goes to show because he won Manager of the Year last year for the Futures League. But just him being a great manager and also having Joe Gill and Bill Terlecki, God rest his soul, they were just a great bunch of people who helped me out. And it really was the best summer I ever had. I really got to say that.
That's nice. The other thing, too, that I think you need to be warned about, you know that in Maine, when they play baseball in the spring, that it's not like 75 degrees up there. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know that. I mean, the good thing about it is, and what Coach Durba was telling me is, like, basically the first, like, month of their season, they come down south. And he was telling me for our spring break, we're probably going to play in South Florida. So that's also one of the biggest things I like about Maine, because my parents, my family will be able to come down and see me in South Florida. Like, they don't have to go far to come watch me play my last season, which is awesome. So that was one of the biggest high hopes when I heard about that. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. My family would love that.
I imagine you've seen the roster or talked to people and a few of the people that will be on this year's team or from carrying over from last year's team. Anyone in particular kind of stand out, Sean, that returning?
Well, I know. I've been talking to Derek January here and there, and I saw that everybody knows who he is. Sal Frelick's coming back. And obviously, like, the reason being is because, like, all the leagues are getting cut, so all canceled. So I saw that he's coming back. And I saw a lot of returns, like Ben Malgieri's coming back. Keegan Calero's coming back. Blake Bennett's coming back. So a lot of, like, key guys from last year are coming back. And then we got a lot more add-ons this year. So hopefully we have a season this year. And if we do, this team is going to be very, very, very dangerous. Tell you that.
Well, Sean, it's great talking with you. Anything else to share with us from sunny Florida or warm Florida? We'll put it at that, huh?
I'm just hoping I can get some warmth when I go up to Maine. That's probably not going to happen, but I think I'll get through it when I head up there.
Yeah, I would. Before you head to Maine, have that tan all set before you head up there, you know, for the year. Yeah, I think you'll be fine.
I'll try to. I'm still working on it.
Well, that's fine. We can work on it now, but don't come September. Your tanning days are over, I think. There you go.
Yeah, it's going to be like that. Yep.
All right, Sean, great talking with you. Nice meeting you, and hope to see you soon in Lynn for the Navigator Senior season.
All right, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yep. Sean Lawler from the North Shore Navigators with us here on North Shore Sports Night.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. Great story with Sean Lawler. We bring on now the Director of Athletics at Danvers High School, Andy St. Pierre. And Andy, welcome back. How are you?
Thank you. Very good. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right.
We're good.
Yeah. We just talked with Ryan Nolan, Andy, because obviously he has a dual role as an educator in Wakefield and also as a football coach in Danvers. And he was mentioning, you know, how the stress has affected some families from his school, you know, as well as the seniors. And I'm just wondering, you know, the last couple of weeks we were able to do a Zoom meeting with you and the captains, and you know, it was great to highlight a spring captain, you know, who obviously no sports for those kids. But I wonder, how have things gone? What have you been hearing, doing, chatting with the kids or parents in the last couple of weeks? What's the overall general feeling, you know, at Danvers High School?
I mean, everyone's in the same boat, and people appreciate that. And I think there's a general appreciation for everyone's trying to do the right thing, trying to do the best we can for the situation. Every family's different. Every situation's different. You know, myself, I got three little kids. My experience with this coronavirus situation is very different than a colleague of mine who doesn't have any kids. Like, there's a whole range of the experiences on the spectrum based on that. And I think the kids and the families fall into the same boat. I mean, a lot of, depending on parents, if they're out of work, if they're furloughed, or if they are working, that changes the whole dynamic at home when you're trying to do remote learning, keep up with everything that's going on in your kids' lives in school. but also still trying to support your family financially. And I know a lot of kids, even Danvers, they're working now to supplement or replace income that's lost now. So that's real, and that's affecting these kids. So in addition to even the academic requirements that they're trying to keep up with, it's how else can they help out their family? What else can they do with what little time they have to help out?
Andy, what are some of the chores in your job now? You know, coming at the end of the school, if you're in the building, spring sports is, rolling along. You're dealing with rainouts and stuff like that, but getting ready for the end of the year. What's changed now? What are your duties and chores now that, for the most part, you have to do remotely?
Yeah, a lot of it is the social-emotional aspect of it. You know, staying connected with people, making sure they're staying connected with the school and the program. You know, making sure coaches are hanging in there, you know, because... You know, just like the kids are losing something, the coaches are losing something that they really look forward to every year, too. You know, so it's that, and all the coaches have their own little things that they're doing with their teams to keep them engaged, keep them, you know, excited and together and positive, I think is the biggest thing. So coaches are constantly sending out emails and doing different little things with their kids, with the team to keep them going. So it's a lot of that stuff. You know, we're still plugging ahead. You know, we still got to keep getting the schedules are ready for the fall. You know, hopefully we can get that done and, you know, get back to it as soon as we can. You know, and at the same time that, you know, there's a good chance that the fall is going to be very different for us. You know, and first and foremost is people's safety, and then it's how we're going to get back to school safely, and then how can we get the sports safely. So that's kind of what we're doing now. And a lot of it's just kind of listening to what the governor's saying, follow suit with the schools and the MIAA and do what we can. You know, right now the fall is a big question mark, but, you know, you got to keep the glass half full and keep a good perspective.
Tim?
All right. And, you know, I was on the Globe Sports page not too long ago, and there is an opening for an athletic director at Boston College.
That's right.
is there any interest there?
No, I love her. I got a great situation. No, but you know what? Martin was a really good guy. You know, from what I hear, I still have some buddies that work at BC, so I stay in touch with them. And, you know, he was here 3 years. It didn't even feel like that. I thought it was only a couple of years.
No, really.
You know, but he's always smiling. He's very engaged. You know, and I bet he brought an enthusiasm there that they were desperately needing. And if you're going to leave there to go to UCLA, then more power to you. That's a great move for him. You know, no one would fault him for that. You know, unfortunately, I think BC's, they gotta find someone who's going to commit and be here longer than a couple years. You know, I think that's what they need, and I think that's what they're always striving for and looking for. You know, and hopefully they can get it with this next person. But BC is a great place to be. It was a great place to work. The education is top-notch. You know, it's the best of all worlds, academics, you know, the social scene, the athletic scene. It's just a great spot, the great campus, really close to Boston, obviously.
Yeah, you know, it seemed, just for another moment, he had a number of really high-profile decisions to make, hirings and firings, and I'm wondering if that's one of the things that UCLA saw in him was the willingness to get down and get dirty and do the real, make the real tough decisions beyond just going out there as a fundraiser, but looking at the necessity of making coaching changes and then bringing in highly qualified people.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I mean, having been in that industry, I think fundraising is probably the number one duty, and then the coaching aspect of hiring and firing is probably a 1A, if you can go that way. But, yeah, no, it's definitely a hard thing. But anyone who's made it to that level, they can have a hard conversation, you know, and it's not for the best interest of the school. And when you're making decisions with that in mind and that's your guiding light, it becomes a lot easier to have those conversations, just how you deliver it. And a guy like Martin, who's very jovial, outgoing guy, you know, he's able to fight, strike that balance and do that appropriately.
So, Andy, what's the deal with the athletic directors right now? I mean, you've got a new schedule coming in. Masco's coming in. That's huge. Fall sports, as far as we know, they're going to happen. So you guys get together a lot with the ADs?
Yeah, we've actually got together more since we've been quarantined. Every couple weeks now, I think we were starting off, we're doing it, which usually we're every month. But, you know, it's good. It's good to stay up with each other. And because everyone, like I said earlier, everyone's got different things going on. So to take an hour with those, with that group and get together and just get on the same page again, you know, share some ideas, see what other schools are doing, you know, similarly, you know, that's a big part of it. And, you know, honestly, just the hour of just sort of the yucks and the laughs is good. You know, it takes you, it kind of takes you, away from, you know, all the serious stuff for a little bit. And we have a good group and good camaraderie, so it's nice. But, yeah, no, we've been meeting a little bit more often. Scheduling the Zoom meeting was interesting with that group. That was an interesting way to go with them. But we figured it out. We got it nailed down. So I think we have another one in a week or two.
Hey, man.
But, yeah, we're still doing business as usual. We still we're talking schedules. We're talking all that sort of stuff. And, you know, obviously with wrapping up the spring, how we can keep the seniors and those kids in mind, anything we can do to sort of support them and acknowledge them is sort of top in most schools right now.
Well, I appreciate your insight, Andy. Really, thank you so much. Good luck, and, you know, stay safe. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. You guys as well.
Thanks, Andy. Take care.
Thanks, Andy.
Bye.
That is Andy St. Pierre, who is the Director of Athletics at Danvers High School. I'm going to punch a button, and, Tim, if I lose you, I'll get you back. All right. You're still there, right? No, you're not. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yay. I did it. Almost. One more guest to go. We're going to take a break and check in with Hamilton Wenham High School football coach Jim. I'm going to check in with Jim Pugh here in a minute, right here on MSO. We'll be right back as soon as I can find the right thing to punch here. Where is it? It's somewhere around here. There it is. I found it. Okay. All right. We'll be back.
I'm Bob Gillis, president of KPN Savings Bank, serving the KPN community with stability and commitment for over 170 years. Since 1846, our customers have relied on our local bank service and big bank benefits. Stop by our offices or call to talk about your banking needs at 978-283-0246. Built on community, KPNSavings.bank.
Member FDIC. Member DIF. Equal housing lender.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
You guys.
All right, Coach, it's good to hear from you, too. Hamilton Wenham football coach, but also an educator, long-time educator in the school systems here. And Jim, I think, let me just turn the music off. I think the first thing I want to ask you about, you know, before we talk about your kids who are seniors this year from the football team, is your overall reaction to the educational aspect of this shutdown. Because obviously, this is something, you know, Tim and I have been around for a long time, too, and we've not seen anything like this, but I'm retired, and you're still in the business here, and I just wonder what your overall reaction of this whole thing is.
Well, it's scary, and, you know, I haven't been, you know, seen anything like it in my lifetime, which is about the same as yours, and but as a teacher, it's been, you know, it's been quite a different situation, but I think that the teachers and the schools are adjusting, and I think the kids are. But, you know, that being said, that, you know, the kids, you can teach them and do different things, and they'll adjust. It's very hard. It's very hard, and we're finding it, Hamilton Wenham, you know, for the seniors in particular, but for all of the kids, it's not. This is not an easy transition, and anyone that would like to think that this is, you know, another day in the park is, you know, kidding themselves. It's horrible. Horrible for those seniors.
Coach, you know.
Horrible for all the kids, and horrible for the kids that are involved in activities and sports and plays, and it just, you know, DECA, you know, they had competitions, it's just everyone got hurt. So it's been a horrible situation, but, you know, as you know, we do every year we make adjustments, and we try to make the best of it, and hopefully
you know, the kids will, you know, will bounce back next year.
Coach, coaching runs in the family, and your daughter is over there at Marblehead. How has she been dealing with it now? She coaches lacrosse. Do I have that right?
Yeah, she missed the season, so it's just been hard. You know, it's tough. You know, I mean, it's hard. You know, for a coach, it's hard for a coach because we put so much into it year round. It's not a hobby that you take up from March 20th to June 10th. It's your love, and you know you're just so excited, and then to lose it, it's horrible. It's tough. And then for the seniors, it's horrible. There's no other way to describe it. Yeah. It's an awful situation for all the kids, for the parents, and anyone that played a sport knows that your focus is your senior year. I'd say to the kids all the time, they get hurt as a freshman or a sophomore, it's like, well, you know, you'll still have your senior year. And we as coaches, as long as we stay in it, we'll have more senior years. We'll have another.
Yeah.
I'll be there next year with the seniors.
Let's hope so.
So will she. But,
yeah.
But the
Jim, at our age, isn't that all we have, our senior years?
Yeah, there you go. Yes. I have those, that's for sure.
I have my senior moments. I don't know about my senior years.
Both, yeah.
Hey, Tim.
Yeah, Jim, you know, you made a great point a moment ago. You mentioned that we focus on sports. Every kid's missing out, especially the seniors who missed that last year, the juniors who are looking to really step up and show up on the radar for a lot of college recruiters and for hockey and baseball players, pro scouts as well. You know, but you mentioned the decade kids and the art kids that are missing out on so many springtime activities. The kids who are engaged in theater and band, and all those kids had their seasons, so to speak, wiped out as well. And unfortunately, I don't think we spend enough time talking about the loss that those kids have felt, as well as the athletes.
Yeah, well, I'm teaching over at Hamilton, and just in talking with the kids, and some of the kids that are involved in DECA, and they had the competition that people were going to go down to, and the plays, I've been going to high school plays since I've been teaching, and the concerts, and it's just horrible because. School is school, and but the relationships that the kids can build up with the DECA teacher or the music teacher or whatever, or the football coach or the baseball coach, a lot of times that's a relationship that's really special, and with the kids with me out, and likewise, for us who are towards the twilight of their career, we're missing out too because. These are the things that make us keep coming back, working with, a great class of Hamilton Wenham seniors and looking forward to, next season. So we'll see how it goes, but it's sad. And hopefully we can get, things will work out. But who knows?
Exactly.
Jim, I was just talking with the Danvers High School football coach, Ryan Nolan, who also teaches in Wakefield. And, they're looking forward, or he's looking forward to hopefully having a regular football season. But that being said, have you had a chance to talk to any of your football players? I know that you teach at the building, and so you must see them during the school year. But since the shutdown, have you talked with any of them?
Yeah, we actually Coach Coffey, who works, we work together, home schedule for all the kids, that they work individually, but we made it a little competitive, and this was Jeremy's idea, Coach Coffey, and, the kids are competing and working out. I've talked with Coach Monagle over at Masco, and, he just gave us the idea that he's doing, the competition where, how many sit-ups or push-ups can you do in 1 minute. So we're trying to keep the kids connected. We're trying to keep them competitive, and you know, hoping that, you know, hoping for the best. But yeah, we've been in touch, and now is the time. You know, Craig Genualdo, you know, has sent out the stuff, and the kids are starting to register and think about next season. Yeah. So we're just hoping that all of this doesn't, you know, diminish the amount of kids or the interest in high school sports.
Well, I got to tell you, Jim, we did a Zoom meeting with Craig last week or the week before, and he had every one of his captains, his spring sports captains, on. And my God, were they impressive! What an impressive group of kids!
Yeah, they really are. And you know, you know when you're talking about the captains of all the high schools around here, you're talking about some special kids, and they all are. But you know, those kids just kind of, you know, rise a little bit above others, and they're leaders. And so, yes, that's a great group, and it's very disappointing for some of these spring teams at Hamilton Wenham, I can tell you that. In particular, I coached some of the baseball players in football, and this was going to be a special season, we thought, for the baseball team. But that's true for, you know, all of them.
Yeah.
The special is being, you know, no expectations, or someone said, well, you're probably not going to be that good, and then you come out and have a championship season. So it's too bad.
And it will be special in some way, shape, or form, and something will, you know, will jive for these kids, and the best, hopefully the best is ahead for all of them. Jim, I want to thank you for taking the time tonight. I appreciate it. Great talking with you in the off season, and looking forward to checking in with you again very soon.
Okay, Rick. Yeah, it's good talking with you guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jim.
Okay.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Jim.
That's Jim Pugh, who was the high school football coach at Hamilton Wenham High School, great guy, longtime friend now. Tim, I remember when I first met Coach, and I was intimidated by him when he was coaching at Masco. And remember the games that he and Ingram used to have at Gloucester?
Those were wars. And the talent level of your key position players.
Hello.
I'm sorry, Jim.
Was,
yep.
Yep. It was just incredible.
Yeah, it was, and I really appreciated that. And so happy to see Maskinama coming into the league. So, Tim, any final comments here about anything?
Well, as Gary said, it should be a very fun weekend with the set of footballs. And everybody just be cautious as things begin to open up, because it can all slide backwards very quickly if people don't continue to exercise caution.
Yep, well spoken. All right, Coach, I'm going to let you go. We'll talk later on. I appreciate it, Tim. Thank you.
All righty, Rick.
All right, talk to you later. I want to thank all of our guests tonight. Thank you to Brian LaFada, who is the Director of Athletics at Gloucester High School, to Gary Larrabee, sports historian, golf writer, Hamilton Wenham football coach Jim Pugh, to Andy St. Pierre, he's the Director of Athletics at Danvers High School, to Ryan Lawler, who is now, will be playing for the North Shore Navigators, and thanks for Bill Newell for taking on that, and also to Ryan Nolan, who is the Danvers High School football coach. So a full hour, I appreciate it, and as Tim said, you know, exercise caution, be smart, do the right thing, and thank you for joining us. Spread the word, and if you have any thing you'd like to let us know, please send them along, your suggestions or comments or whatever, to msonewsports@gmail.com. That's msonewsports@gmail.com. So on behalf of Tim Kearns, Bill Proposky, Bill Newell, I'm Rick Moore, and thank you for joining us here on msonewsports.com.